Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the brand new podcast called I Have Skin in the Game. I'm Lisa Arledge Powell. I'm here with Randy Dupler, as well as Dr. Carol Clinton. And people might think this podcast is called I Have Skin in the Game because you are the world famous skin doctor, but that's not why we're here today.
No, it's not why we're here today. You know, I have ovarian cancer, and I was diagnosed with it first in 2005. And this past week, I got news that my cancer had recurred. This is my first recurrence. It's 14 years later. So I'm just here. I think that part of what I need to do is just get the news out that there's great advancements in cancer. And then I'm here with my great friend, Randy Dupler, because as we sat down this week, he had some great ideas and it really resonated with me.
Yeah, thank you, Carol. I know that you have some amazing stories and you have an amazing story. And it is time to tell them and to share them with the world. And you've had an incredible impact on me personally. And I know that we're together in a professional group. And I know you've had a tremendous impact on our forum and our small group. And I'm super excited to be here today to launch this podcast. And I am excited because I think it's a dream come true for you. But I also think that what you're going to share and the impact you're going to have on others' lives will be your legacy, and it's really exciting to be part of it this morning.
Well, thanks. Yeah, Randy immediately asked me to go out for a drink or at least a good view off a rooftop bar, and he said, you know, Carol, the first thing that came to me is you should do a podcast. And I said, you know, Randy, I've been thinking about doing a podcast for years, and any time I would come up with an idea, it just didn't resonate in my soul, and I couldn't do it. And this is it. This resonates with me, so we're here.
Can you talk a little bit more about why you want to do this? Because, you know, you're just diagnosed, and a lot of people would turn inward and figure out how they're going to take care of themselves, but you're now looking outward to other people. Why did you want to do this podcast and talk about what you're going through?
Well, it's interesting that you say that because, you know, I have spent the last couple days doing all the inward work that needs to be done, getting the right medical team around me, getting the right people around me in my business so my business can be supported the way it needs to be supported while I'm out. And I think knowing that I'm surrounded by a village that's going to really take care of things while I take care of myself gives me the opportunity to look outwards. And you know, I do want to have a legacy. I want to have a legacy for my family. I want to have a legacy for my friends, for the people who I work with, my community, and then anybody out there who's listening to me who's never even met me.
You have touched a lot of people, and this is going to reach a lot of people. And I think, you know, when anyone thinks about cancer, it's scary. But the fact is, all of us in this room, everybody listening, we're all going to die of something.
We are, you know, and even when I was with, you know, Dr. Larry Copeland at the James yesterday, he said, you know, I was with you 14 years ago and we're going to do surgery again. And he said, you know, the next time this recurs for you, I'm not going to be here. Like, I'm going to be having a glass of wine and I'm going to be retired. But if and when this ever recurs, you're going to get treated, there's advancements, and you're probably going to die from something else. So when I was first diagnosed with this, I had an 18% chance of survival at 5 years. And what a difference time makes in terms of the impact we can have on just any disease. And certainly mine has had great advancements.
And this treatment is going to start quickly. We're looking at, in a couple days, you're going to be having surgery at the James.
Yeah, so Wednesday morning, I'm scheduled first thing in the morning, and then chemo will follow several weeks later, and I'll be undergoing chemo for, it sounds like the next 6 months, if I've heard it right. You know, sometimes when you're with your doctor, if you don't write things down, you forget. And on the way home, my husband and I both looked at each other and were like, did he say you're going to have 6 rounds of chemo or 6 months of chemo? How did that go? And neither of us had written it down. So you guys will be informed when I know.
Well, we'll say this at the end, but if people want to follow your journey or wish you well, where, what resources can they go to where they can, you know, contact you and follow you?
Yeah, so there'll be several different ways. I have a website that's just devoted to me and this journey. So that's drcarolclinton.com, and doctor is not spelled out. It's just DR, no period, drcarolclinton.com. I have that same as a Gmail, drcarolclinton@gmail.com. I have social media, and then you'll also be finding things, podcasts, which will be posted up on my website. There'll be a blog, and then certainly my work, Timeless Skin Solutions, will be putting out updates over time.
Okay, great. I know lots of people want to follow your journey. So we talked about, you know, who you wanted to reach and why you wanted to do this, but there's kind of a bigger why you always are the helper. Why do you help people?
Yeah, I think there's also one thing I want to say, since I said I wanted to have impact on my family. So I'm going to say this to my kids, and I'm going to say this right now, and then it'll lead into the story. I love you. I believe in you. And whatever you want to do in this world, you can do it. And I will never leave you. So you are with me, and you're with me in my, the deepest part of my being, and I will always be there for you. With that being said, you know, I think I've always been a helper by nature. That was my nature. Many of you don't know, but my parents died within 6 weeks of each other. And my dad had lung cancer, so we all thought he was going to die, and we knew that that was the eventuality that we were working with. He had lung cancer, and the James was just a concept back then, and I can remember thinking, gosh, I wish the James was here for us. But it wasn't, so we didn't get to do that. And then as he was going through the end stages of his disease, my mom was impacted by a very rare hemolytic anemia. And as we thought she was getting better, she had a turn for the worse one day. They lived in Arizona, and I talked to her in the morning, and I said, what can I do for your mom? She had just arrived at the hospital. My mom was from the South, and she never left the bedroom in the morning without looking perfect. And her turn was so quick that she left the house not looking perfect. And she just said, honey, if you could just tell one of your sisters to bring me a cute little nightie, I would feel a lot better. So that was the last conversation I had with my mom. And later that night, I got a call that she had passed. I was an undergraduate student. I didn't have any money. My parents had moved out of their house in Ohio, and my youngest sister and my oldest brother had been there. I'm one of eight at the house, and it really was in its end stages. Like, they were up in Cleveland, which is where I'm from, and I was in Columbus, and there wasn't even bedroom furniture in the house. Like, it had all been, it was really like the last day that anybody would be there. And so when I got the news, I drove up to Cleveland to be with them. And we have one aunt, and I want to apologize to any of my cousins who are listening there out there. I love this aunt dearly, and she has done a lot of good for me and impacted my life, but this was one day that has resonated with me on why I do things for other people. And she called the three of us and said, I'm sorry your mom passed away last night, but you know, you guys just saw her 10 days ago, so basically I'm not giving you the money to fly out there. And I didn't have money to fly out there. My younger sister didn't have money to fly out there. My brother didn't have money to fly out there. So the three of us didn't get to go to our mother's funeral. And, you know, 6 weeks later, as my dad was entering the end stages of his disease, I didn't think I was going to get to see him again. And I just remember going to the mailbox, and I just said, you know, gosh, if there's a check in the mailbox today, I'm going to use that money to go see my dad before he dies. I went to the mailbox, and my brother Paul had sent me a check for $500. And if there's ever a time I can help somebody, I am going to help. So I know my aunt didn't mean to do that, but the impact she had has been, if there's not a detriment to me, I will reach out and help you if you put your hand out to me.
Wow, that's a really compelling story. I guess there are probably a lot of people that are maybe going through what you're going through. What would you want to say to them, other people that are maybe going through treatment for cancer or just going through a hard time?
Yeah, I think, you know, this, I always think about my entrepreneur community because I think of these people that I'm with, Randy, as really strong people, and then you get hit with something that's so unexpected, and you just don't know, have I planned for this? And most of the time, the answer is no. But there are people who out there who have the answer. Find them, you know? And the good thing these days is we have Google and all kinds of other resources right at our fingertips. And you know what? If you don't have that at your fingertips, we still have public libraries. And the United States has an awesome system of them. And I'm in Columbus, Ohio, and we kind of have one of the best systems in the world. So use it.
Well, I think if there's anyone that can impact people and help people through a hard time, it's definitely you, Carol. And I know, Randy, you would agree with me.
I would agree with you.
You've known her for a long time, and she touches everyone that she knows in a special way.
You do, and you know, I mentioned earlier, you've definitely touched our lives. I think one thing that resonated with me this week when we were chatting was that you are going to continue to do the work with the Dublin Library that you have made a commitment to, and you're going to again continue to serve others in that community. And what you said that resonated with me was that you know, EO, Entrepreneurs Organization, really helped you get your business prepared so that you don't have to be in the office every day this time during your treatment like you did the last time. And I'll never forget the story that you told me on the first time that you went through this treatment. Dr. Clinton, you have the details, but you basically got diagnosed the day before she had to open up a business, or very shortly thereafter. And she would treat patients all day long, and she would have to sit in the chair by her back door of her office for 45 minutes to an hour before she had the energy to walk to the car to drive herself home for 2 miles. And that just really hit me on, people didn't really know what you were going through. And this time, it's an opportunity to share those ups and downs.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thank you. Yeah. Didn't know that it impacted you, so thanks.
I remember the first time we did an interview, Dr. Clinton, was shortly after your treatment, and you know, you were like, what does my hair look like, and what do I say? And from the minute that red light of the camera turned on, it was just really obvious that you had a gift for communicating. So I think this is really the perfect venue for you to just talk to lots of people.
Well, thanks. And Lisa, you know, I reached out to you this week because, you know, this is the you can do it sort of thing. I wouldn't have known I could do this if you hadn't just said, like, boy, this was back in 2006. And you're like, YouTube is going to be a big thing for physicians.
This thing called YouTube.
Yeah. And we're going to do some YouTube videos, and we're going to put them up on your website. And we did, and it was awesome. And, you know, when this whole idea running around a podcast in my head, you know I can do it because you showed me how to do it. So thank you.
Well, you have the gift, that's for sure. So I know that, you know, while you're going to be going through your treatment, Timeless Skin Solutions, your whole staff is just holding down the fort. Anything you want to say to those ladies?
Yeah, I think what I want to say is they're prepared. They can do it. I believe in them as the professionals they are. And I'm just looking forward to seeing them shine in my as I take another step back. So I'm so confident in providing excellent care to our patients in the way that I would want to deliver it.
I know that you have lots of stories to share. I don't know, Randy, is there a story you want to prompt her to share? I think you know lots of these stories.
I do. And, you know, I think I just want to go back to, you know, I think that your mom kind of came up today. And there's this amazing story about your mom. And I'm not even, you have to tell it, but it's the red car.
Okay.
And so if you can give us the high, that would be a great segue story here.
So Randy, the red car story has impacted so many people, and sometimes I don't even realize how many people it's impacted, but I know from my childhood, through my college friends, through my med school friends, and now out here in the world, and you. I grew up and we didn't have a ton of money, but we had a lot of grit, and my mom was one of those people with grit, and we had a car, and she wanted it painted, and there wasn't enough money to paint it. And I can remember her and my dad talking about it, and it just wasn't going to happen. So as a summertime college student, I had a job at the local pool, and I rode my bike to the pool because that's what I had as my transportation. And it was a day that was hot and humid in the middle of the summer, and up came a rainstorm. I wasn't going to be able to ride my bike home. So I called my dad, and he said, yeah, I'll be there to pick you up shortly. So he picked me up, and he was in the red car. And I'm like, whoa, what happened to the red car today? And he's like, very respectfully, your mom's pretty upset, and we're not going to talk about this at all when we get home. So my mom had gone out on a hot, humid day, got herself a couple cans of red spray paint, and spray painted the car. So you can imagine, it wasn't really a professional job, and that red Impala stayed that way. And as my parents passed away, the red Impala was mine, and I drove it for a few years, and then eventually decided to put it up for sale, but the paint job stayed the way. I didn't have any money to fix that paint job either. And as I went to sell it, one of my friends from grade school actually reached out to me, and he's like, hey, I really want to buy that car from you. And I said, all right, why? And he's like, you know what? Your mom was always nice to me. And, you know, your mom could do anything. And the fact that she would spray paint that car is just something that I'll never forget. So, you know, there you go. You know, she had impact on someone she didn't even know she was having impact on. The fact that my dad was respectful of, she had wanted something, she had tried to do it for herself, and it didn't quite work out the way she had intended, made it not really a painful family chapter, but certainly something we didn't talk about amongst each other.
Okay, that's a great story. So you were talking about impact. Can you share with us who had a lot of impact on you when you were going through your treatment in 2006?
You know, that first treatment time was in 2005, and I think it was really my kids and my husband at that point in time. You know, there was a lot that needed to happen to keep our family together, and the kids, you know, focused on what they needed to do growing up, and not having, you know, not being burdened by this, but, you know, I don't know, you could say enjoy the journey, but remember the journey in a positive way. And I know that one of the things that they did for me was they all played the piano. And when I was sick and just could barely feel like doing anything, you know, listening to them play the piano was one of the most very comforting things that they could do for me. I think the second person is, we have a good friend named Frank Dunn, and our kids are really good friends from, you know, babies on up. And he would come over on Sundays and bring his kids, and the kids would all swim in our pool, and most days I wouldn't feel good enough to even wander down to the pool, but I could see them. And Frank would sit in the bedroom with me, read the newspaper, and I would fall asleep. He wouldn't really be talking to me at all, and I would wake up and he would still be there. So I think, you know, if you can, sometimes we all know words, there are no words for things, and sometimes your actions speak louder than words, and Frank had a profound impact on me in terms of his ability to just sit with someone who was sick. So, those are the people who had an impact on me. And my kids, by the way, they were each had a different reaction. So my oldest daughter was, you know, the facts and let's get on with this. You know, mom, are you going to get better? Yep. All right. I'll see you later. My son was very emotional, engaging with me, making sure that I felt well, and that if there was something he could do to provide comfort, he did. And then my youngest daughter was just hilarious. I had a wig. I didn't really wear it. And when people would come by and drop us a meal, she was like six, and Hannah Montana was just starting then. And oh my gosh, the kids would be like, thank you so much. This is the best. By the way, if you heard this, anybody, I'm sorry. This is what they said every time. This is the best meal anyone has ever delivered to us. We're going to really, really enjoy this. And then my youngest daughter would just silently move away, and then my son would remain engaged talking to them, and then she would come back out of the bedroom with my wig on, and she'd be like, hi, I'm the cousin from Tennessee. So just watching them as they each engaged with it in their own manner was really, really fun.
Now they're grown up now. I mean, they're older now. So how was that different, like your interaction so far with the kids?
Well, you know, here we'll go specifics, what specifically happened this week. So one of our daughters lives in Ireland. One of them is at school in Vermont, and another is at school in Arkansas. I certainly didn't want any of them to think that they were the first to be told and that they weren't loved more or whatever you think when you put stories in your head. So we called a family meeting on Facebook. So, you know, we use Facebook Messenger so we could all call in at the same time. If the two older ones had any idea of what was going on, they didn't say anything. And immediately the youngest one was like, hey, what's up? So we got on the phone and we chatted with each other. And then they knew that we were available to talk later if they didn't feel like they wanted to talk right then. And I just want to read something my son posted on Instagram yesterday, because like I told you, he was my emotional one. And I just, when I read this yesterday, and he didn't post it to me, it was just out there. So it says, I'm not one to post long or emotional stories, but let me take a moment to brag about my mom. If you didn't know, she's an absolute rock star. In 2005, a few days after she opened up her own business, she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Watching her step up to the plate in battle every single day while trying to raise us is something that I will never forget. To simply put it, she kicked its ass. However, on Wednesday she was told it was back. All I can say is the strength and the positivity that is emanating from her after another difficult diagnosis is unreal. There's no doubt in my mind that if she can kick its ass once, she will kick its ass again. I love you, Mama. So.
That's sweet. I totally agree with him, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so I know we've talked about a lot of things. I think like one thing we'd like people to know, if they have questions for you or topics that they want you to address, they can maybe respond on your Facebook, or they can email you and reach you through your blog. So we'll make sure to put some ways to contact you directly through that, because I know you want to talk about things that people, you know, might have questions about or might want to hear about. And again, let's tell everyone where they can get information about how you're doing.
So main website, drcarolclinton.com, Gmail, drcarolclinton@gmail.com. I'm Carol Clinton on Facebook, and I'm in Dublin, Ohio, if there's more than one. And we'll have a blog, but it's an old blog from 2005, and I'll have to revive it and refresh it a little bit before it goes live, but it'll be out there.
Okay. All right. Final words, Randy, anything?
Oh yeah. Come back to me in a second. I'll think of something. This is like one word close. We do these one word closes every day. And my one word close was kick its ass.
I think my one word close is going to be amazing, which is what I think about you.
Thank you. My one word close, I don't know, I'm going to pick two, impact and legacy.
This has been the debut episode of the podcast, I Have Skin in the Game with Dr. Carol Clinton.